Country Brass Band, John Bell here with you. Looking forward to adjudicating your performance at the U.S. Open Brass Band Championships.
Very brass band, I'm going to open that right now with a piece of music, a special commission for today from the English composer and horn player and conductor and a really good and lovely girl, Lucy Pankhurst. So, Dallas, how are we doing? So you're ready. Get set. Go!
Fun. Need a little more clarity in. Better there. Now there's more clarity because we've added some of the upper instruments. Good. Structure very tight there. I think played pretty well. Hard to hear this performer locked in pretty well. Good. Russia needs to have a little bit more sensitivity to the dynamics that are going on in the winds. A little bit of clarity issue going into G on da-dee-da-dee-da-da-dee. I do see that the last two eight notes are slurred. It feels like we're slowing down slightly. Cornets come in just a little bit stronger. Letter J.
Is that the move?
Just a little bit more clarity in the articulation on one E, one M. Do that, da, 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 do that, da, da. Make a little bit more difference in weight on the longer note than the shorter note. Do that, do, do. Come on, there you go. My imagination is using the sustain. A great start. Great energy, great start. I think that there's a couple of places where some clarity issues, there's a lot of different things going on, and there's some clarity issues as far as where to focus attention.
Pankhurst, who coincidentally is a whole player, still with the Wing Entertainment Band, and has been studying composition at our Royal Norwegian College.
Fun, though, for sure. A little more clarity and articulation, a little more consistency of articulation, interpretation in the low brass as you're moving through. It felt like it was pulling back in tempo just a little bit.
Very brass band were the only non-English brass band to get onto the CD, and you can still buy copies of it here. It all goes to a great charity. And we move down from that to opera. I guess it's fair to say that despite being one of the great opera composers of all time, and a man who wrote opera after opera after opera, all of which were great success. But his greatest success originally wasn't the Barber of Seville. When he gave his first performance at the Teatro Argentina in Rome, all sorts of things went wrong. And it's apparently the audience spent most of the evening convulsing laughter at the stupid things that were going on stage. Even amazingly, when they came to do the opera for the second time, they'd lost the overture. And the overture that you heard earlier, that was for the Rossini's opera, The Barber of Seville, wasn't actually the overture that was written for that opera. It was written for an opera called Aureliana. And then he wrote another opera called Elizabeth, the Queen of England, and he couldn't afford to write an overture for that, so he used the overture for Aureliana. And then when they'd lost the original overture for Barbara Seville, he used that same overture again. So if you look back into Rossini's workbook, as it were, that he used the same overture for three different operas. He knew what was good with Mr. Rossini. The opera The Barber of Seville, the barber is Figaro. And Figaro is, of course, the same man who Mozart used in The Marriage of Figaro. What's amazing is that despite the fact that Mozart's opera predated Rossini's opera by, I guess, 100 years, that they come from, it's the same story, but Mozart took the second part of the story, and Rossini took the original part of the story when Figaro was indeed a barber in Seville. But what he did, of course, more than anything else, he wasn't just the barber, he was the man who could fix anything. I don't even know that he could give you a decent shave or a decent haircut, but he was the factotum. And Figaro could fix anything. You wanted a woman, he could fix it. You wanted to get married, he could fix it. You wanted to buy a house, he could find a house for you. I guess if they had motor cars there, you would have even bought a second-hand car from Mr. Figaro. Rossini introduces the man with a great, great fanfare. It's a wonderful piece of music that is one of the most famous opera arias of all time. Today, the Fairy Brass Band have got their own factotum. To play the Largo al Factotum from The Barber of Seville, please welcome Paul Eakley.
Very stylish. Bravo cornets. Total placement early. Quite good. More song-like, more resonance in the tone, a little more forward-leaning. Good. Starting together. This is very picky, by the way. Okay, minor placement issues, cornet. Great euphonium playing. Once again, minor placement issues. Move together. Ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. off some intonation issues. Fuzzy there, Cornet. Bring it to end. Much better there. Nice light quality to the sound here. Solo Cornet. Bravo. Not always lining up the 16ths under the slur. It's really quite good. I'm hearing consistently issues of the top note not being accurate. Somebody all it takes is one. The solos is part of the ensemble there, and they really have to listen a little more carefully and move together. Of energy in your performance today, band, and certainly bravo, kudos to the soloist. I think that the most consistent issue that I'm hearing through that particular piece is that intervallic upward leaps are problematic in the cornets. Also some actual moving together issues when the solo is really a duet or a trio within the ensemble. With the solo is just not quite moving forward together, and also some intonation issues at times between the soloist and the ensemble. But the quality of the sound, the concept of the style as you're moving through, I thought was really quite good.
Virtually everything that Shostakovich wrote until Stalin died. There were the guys that nobody cared about, like Goethe, and everything that Goethe had written was just sort of gone. And then on the other side, there were composers who really were communists, supported the regime, and did everything they could to sort of project socialism into society through culture. One of those was Khachaturian, and of course it meant that for many, many years, his music, even though it was an Armenian, the Russians really supported Khachaturian's music to such an extent that he wrote a great ballet that everybody thinks is somehow now is a very wonderful sort of ballet about life, in glorious life in Russia, very happy music, things like the Sabre Dance. Was actually on the ballet is on a farm. It's on a farm that is run by the government, and it's everybody there is working for peanuts. Well, they're not working for peanuts, it's a cotton farm. And the best thing that happens, the most exciting thing that happens in the whole thing is when the corrupt people who are running the government-owned farm set fire to the warehouse so that they can make an insurance claim on it. So much for socialism being good for you. But it kept Alan Khachaturian in a living. The music is glorious, and Howard Snell has put together a wonderful suite of music from this ballet, which he calls simply a Khachaturian suite. This is the wonderful finale. Lishinka.
Here we go.
Thank you.
really nice concept of sound in the band. You don't always line things up. Not quite. Accuracy issues from time to time, but certainly an overall concept of ensemble is quite good. Now here I think perhaps the balance is just a little bit heavy in the percussion. Just a lot to listen to here. Lots of layering. Some technical issues under the slur here. Cornet horn. Tenor horn, baritone. Just flat, hard. So the key is to try to make it sound effortless. I think that it could be played just a little bit softer. Some of the sections. A little softer, a little lighter. Like the percussion here, very stylistic, good balance here, a little bit more heroic. When you get the quarter note triplets, let's play with just a little more weight as you move through the measure. Good. Okay. Well, I think that overall, the overall concept of balance is really quite good. At times, it's just a little bit bright and top heavy on those last chords. I would have liked to have heard a little bit more, a little more tone, a little more sonority from below brass as you're moving through there. Certainly, very high level of technical display. And of course, the key is you got to make it sound easy. And there was times when it just sounded hard, just not quite lined up vertically, and then some balance issues, percussion a little bit heavy at times, kind of back out just a little bit, especially as you move into that flow just a little bit more sense of lightness and flight and float and hard to do.
It was even filmed in 1939 with Judy Garland and Mickey Rooney. And I guess if I ask you to put your hands up, anyone who has seen that film or can remember it, I never did. So I wonder how many of you have seen it as well. But this musical was just full of great songs. The Lady in the Tramp, Where or When, My Funny Valentine, which apparently is the favorite song of Dallas's wife. And he will be in great trouble tonight because they're not going to play that one today. However, today's choice will be familiar to everyone. It's a new arrangement by Dallas, especially for today. It's fantastic. Johnny, 1 minute.
Just not quite together, guys. Good concept here. A little bit lighter. Good. Cornets are just a little bright. I know you're emulating a jazz band. Just a little bright. Composure that over the stir of the soprano. Well, pretty well done. Some clarity issues on the slur, 16th note runs. move here. Good. All right. Lots of energy. Once again, some balance issues of clarity. What's the most important line through here? I'd like to hear a little bit more of the rhythmic contribution, not the sustained line.
Cool.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, the soprano player's got some iron chops. There's no doubt about that.
It's certainly a good solid performance for you. Some minor technical issues, just not lining things up underneath the slurs all the time. Some minor intonation issues as you expand the tessitura. Some balance issues. I'd like to hear a little bit more of some of the sustained parts are a little bit too loud. Sometimes the percussion is just a little bit too loud. It's just those minor things. The clarity I'm talking about. About clarity overall and musical intent. A lot of talent on stage, without a doubt.
Play the drums as loud as you possibly can. And you understand that as a conductor, we position ourselves usually as far away as we can from the percussion section. That's not because we don't like them, it's that we value our hearing. However, we managed to get away unscathed. There's a great tradition in your country of rather than brass bands, which are a fairly new tradition, of the wind band. And one of the leaders was a man called Roger Nixon. Roger was one of the great California-based composers. Studied, actually, with an Englishman, one Arthur Bristol was over here during the war years. He studied at what you quaintly call the University College Berkeley, which we in England would call the University College Berkeley. How we in England get to pronounce B-E-R-K, bark, when it's quite clear it should be B-A-R-K, and you pronounce it Burke, and you think you're odd. I don't know. But there we are, it's one of those quaint little things about our language. You studied at Berkeley. And was a great great writer. He wrote literally hundreds of things for the wind band. This is one of his early compositions and has been rescored for brass band, especially for today, by Dallas. This is Roger Nixon's Fanfare March.
Percussion is a little loud here.
It's a little bit lighter.
Once again, the issue of lining things up underneath the slurs presents itself. 16 notes.
Dynamic contrast, certainly. Yeah, almost the first 60 measures is an introduction, and it weaves through its energy levels, but yet there still needs to be clarity, there still needs to be consistency of articulation, and mostly I'm just hearing issues related, I think, to...
issues, I think, related to playing just a little bit heavy, just a little bit out of balance at times, a little bit loud. Sense of downbeat, upbeat. Not quite coming off the tie together in the tenor chorus. Played 16th notes. I appreciate the sensitivity of the musical line here. Cornets just not quite lining this up. Sound of the trombones. Slight touch in the snare. Intonation is solid here.
Okay.
Well, I thought that overall it was really a very well constructed orchestration. Bravo to Maestro Neumeier. I think that the clarity, what I'm hearing is intonation issues, articulation issues that are primarily and lining up rhythms vertically, just not quite lined up. It felt a little bit rushed and frantic, and just really didn't quite settle in to a comfortable lightness. Alright.
A Scottish figure called Dougie MacLean. Dougie is passionate in support for Scottish independence, along with another great Scottish resident of California, Sean Connery. It's easy to be independent if you're rich. However, Andrew Duncan's arrangement draws more on Dougie MacLean's tune than Trevor Jones's film arrangement, and is, in a word, stunning. The Gale.
Getting the full color of the
cornet sound immediately, full sonority. Someone's in a little light. Move together. Some intonation issues here. And the cornets. It's not quite lined up. Listen to the overtones. Excellent job in the low brass. Just tough to do. Talking about the intonation issues there. Baritone, etc. It's just minor. It's minor stuff. When it lays out for so long and the clarity of the chordal structure is such that you can really zero into those pitch, into the pitch, and the pitch issues. Detail on dynamics. Hear those intervals. Here we are. Okay, we're back in. Missing a page or something there. I would take this maybe just a hair slower. Because that way that would give you an opportunity to really be stylistic with the dotted 8/16th 8. And it'd be a little bit more dance-like feeling. Of course, the issue through here is the players being consistent with the dotted 8/16th 8th rhythm? Yeah, very challenging. Very challenging in consistency of articulation as you're moving through these sections. Careful percussion that you don't come to the fore too quickly. I think that the euphonium needs to have a little bit more presence with the main line there. And a little bit too much of the cornet. It's not a balance issue, it's a brightness issue. And the concept of the color of the sound there, just a little bright. And it's bright from what you have set up in front of that. That's why we hear that switch. Yeah, see, just a hair slower tempo will help the letter M, will help the triplet 16ths to be a little cleaner for you. Certainly, great energy in your performance. Look. Great musical effect here. Thank you.
know, be a little careful at the end for percussion. Got just a little bit bangy. But I have to tell you that very effective for you. I think just perhaps a hair slower tempo when you get into the jig moment. I think that'll help you be a little more stylistic, and you won't feel like it felt a little on the edge there. Certainly your presentation today is outstanding, and entertainment value from the standpoint of variety, a very classy ensemble. I'm concerned about some of the technical issues, especially in the cornets, intonation issues as you move through, some balance issues as I'm listening to the ensemble percussion. Not everyone quite locked in role of from a crafting standpoint at times. I was having to search for the melody, let's say, or where's the most important moment as you're moving through this section. But having said that, just some terrific technique displayed, and certainly very classy. All the best.